We're talking today with Michael Kelsey, Executive Vice President of the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. Michael, you've just wrapped up this winter policy meeting, kind of a winter look at your policy, renewing policy, letting some policies expire, some resolutions, and setting some new ones in place as well. What were the one or two things that really stuck out in your mind as the cattlemen came in and worked on all this?
It was a great process. And this is our third year to do this winter policy process, and overall we just continue to grow, and it's really encouraging that the youth that are starting to engage, our younger members are starting to engage, and what they're telling us is hey, we're interested in what's going on from a policy direction, whether it's federal and state both. We're interested, right, because we're right before the legislature, we can look at what the bills have been filed. If we don't have policy on them, we can create policy, etc. We're interested in what's going on, what the shape of the legislature is going to be. So that, to me, is most encouraging. We're a grassroots organization, and we need input from our members on what we should, what water should we be carrying in it, where should we be carrying it on their behalf. So that was fantastic. I think we had a great breadth of discussion of issues yesterday that really focused on the fact that OCA is an organization working for cattle producers. So if there's an issue that's touching their business, if you will, then we're going to be involved in it. We're going to make an effort to be at the table to advocate on their behalf, whether it's a tax issue or an environmental issue or an animal health issue or any those types of issues. So overall, fantastic. I think there were a few things that kind of floated to the top as far as discussion. Certainly some tax, ad valorem tax, specifically the municipalities having the opportunity, or the bill that would allow the municipalities to have the opportunity to levy ad valorem tax. We clearly stated our position on that bill, and it gives me an opportunity as the representative, as a lobbyist, if you will, for the cattlemen, to go over there and be at the table during that discussion when, in my opinion, that bill has momentum. That bill has some momentum to move through the legislature this year, and we need to be at the table to advocate for our members. Animal traceability was a big issue that we talked about. We spent some time on it, really kind of from two different perspectives. Obviously, the disease surveillance, disease traceability is vitally important. Our task force did some great work to bring two pieces of language of resolution that really sets us in motion to move forward on this issue in a very defined path, such as a pilot program. We're going to go out and seek a pilot program that we can have as an opportunity to participate, to learn, to experiment, et cetera, like that, as well as setting us up in a transition regarding the tagging or the identification of those animals. But then the other part of that, too, was we had some great discussion on theft deterrent and how do we use IDs, and then in this case, probably specifically brands more than anything, but even individual ID to help us deter theft. We still have a problem with cattle rustlers, and we need to figure out how we as an industry can approach this. Certainly, we advocate branding or identification. We advocate, lock your gates, change your habits up, make yourself more resistant to thieves. But we know that it still goes on. Right. And so as an association, what can we do to help prevent some of that stuff? And that's a good discussion. I thought we had a great discussion yesterday morning about that. And again, got us in a place where we can move forward, especially with our partners like the Livestock Market Association. The livestock markets are a major partner in that effort. And they certainly want to deter theft. And so do our banker friends. And so I think we've got some direction there that we can move forward and work on that issue.
I would think on the animal ID or animal trace back, that's going to be a topic this coming week in New Orleans.
It will be. And it's teed up to, when you bring in all the states across the country in, there's a lot of different opinions on that. And especially then when you start talking about the different sectors. So like our friends at the Cattle Feeders, Texas Cattle Feeders Organization, they're pretty set on an animal identification system. And they're really interested in it, yes, from a disease traceability, but they like the opportunities that it might present, in their opinion, for some of the value-added programs for export markets and so forth. you know, that's part of the discussion. And but then within that, how do we secure the data? How do we make sure that that data has that integrity of privacy? How do we make sure we limit liability? How do we make sure that the data is it flows with the speed of commerce and that the cattle can move and so forth? All those questions still need to be answered, both for breeding cattle, older cattle, as well as if we move into feeder cattle, yearlings, wheat pasture cattle, and then, of course, feedlot cattle and so forth. So I look forward to that discussion we're going to have next week. And again, just trying to keep us moving forward. And I think, and I should mention overall what I heard yesterday as well from our membership is this is an important issue that we want to define and it not be defined for us by a government entity or someone else who may just not know our business. And so we've got to be at the table. We've got to be a part of making this issue work for us now and not wait until something such as a disaster, a foreign animal disease that shuts everything down. Oh, now we got to try to play catch up. Not a good scenario to be in. So we're going to be proactive on the issue.
What other things came up yesterday afternoon?
Yeah, we talked a lot about private property rights. We've got a bill in the legislature discussing water, specifically groundwater rights, and we're very high on this. Obviously, water is a very important topic, a very important resource. We're going to work on the eminent domain clause or the eminent domain title, so that when land is and what we would like to do is when eminent domain is used by an entity, that the landowner would have the option to keep that groundwater right. And that can be very important. And so right now, that's not necessarily state statute policy. And so we want to make sure that opportunity for that landowner exists. They may lose the land to a road project or a building project or something by a government entity, but they may be able to, we want them to be able to keep that groundwater right and continue to use that. So private property rights as well. If you consider Senator Murdoch, chairman of the Ag Committee, has a bill regarding flying drones over public drones or private, even private drones over private property. That's private property rights are very important to us. And so we think that's a pretty good bill again this year that we're going to work with him to push through that private property right. That domain, that's very important to our members. And so several other bills related to that, but very, very important again for our discussion yesterday.
Right. In your mind next week in New Orleans, what are, you know, beyond animal ID, and we know there's going to be a lot of conversation about that. What else do you think is going to be on the minds of producers as they gather?
I think there's probably a couple of things that we're going to see. I think trade is going to continue to be very, very important. And defining what that looks like and continuing to define what that looks like under the current administration. President Trump has made, you know, some of his priorities very clear regarding trade, and we've worked through some of those specific relationships, such as North America with Canada, Mexico, and then renegotiation of NAFTA and so forth. Of course, you remember one of the first things he did when he took office was threw out a pretty good-sized trading relationship or potential in the Pacific Rim. And so, you know, we need to reinvestigate. We need to look at that and see what that – so I think trade is going to be a pretty important topic as well. I think the government shutdown will obviously be a big one as well. And how do we the services that we're not receiving right now, our FSA department, I can't give them enough credit for what they've done, especially here in Oklahoma. Our good friend, Director Scott Biggs, and his crew have just been phenomenal trying to work through a very difficult situation. And so kudos to them. But long term, you know, we need to figure out what the solution is and move forward. And I don't know what that necessarily is, but I think as an industry, we need to talk about it. And some of those specific agencies that we deal with and so forth. You know, we're in day 35 plus here or so. And one fear I have is let's say even if this thing ends tomorrow, there's probably some federal employees that have found other jobs because they had to make a paycheck. And so even when the government kind of kicks back on, if you will, there may be some staff openings that won't allow them to come up to speed very quick. Never mind the fact they're just going to have to clear the inbox of the email, you know. And so I think we need to be prepared to work with government in a very proactive manner and a flexible manner to when this thing ends, to get back going. And I look forward to some of those discussions next week.
Thank you, Michael. Michael Kelsey with the Oklahoma Cattlemen's Association. On the Oklahoma Farm Report, I'm Ron Hayes.